Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today we're talking about Achieving a Better Life Experience Act of 2014, and it allows states to create tax-advantaged savings programs for eligible people with disabilities to pay for qualified disability-related expenses. Indiana's program, Investable, is excited to be celebrating the fifth anniversary of the passage of the ABLE Act. We are happy to welcome Investable's Executive Director, Amy Corbin, to bring us up to date on Indiana's program and celebration plans. Hello, Miss Amy Corbin. How are you?
I'm very well, Michelle. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, thank you for being here. It is the fifth anniversary, like we just said in the introduction, of the ABLE Act adopted by the U.S. government. Can you tell me how ABLE accounts came about and how it can benefit people with disabilities?
Certainly. So it was all started, as you kind of mentioned a moment ago, by Stephen Beck Jr. He actually had a daughter with Down syndrome, and he wanted her to be able to save money for her future and not risk losing her vital public benefits. And knowing that an individual with a disability could only have about $2,000 to their name, it certainly didn't allow the same opportunity for his daughter to save for the future or invest money, his money or her own money. So he sat down with a group of fellow parents, and they brainstormed different ways to help help their children save for the future. And that kind of morphed into what ABLE turned into.
That is wonderful. So let me ask you then, how was Investable Indiana established after it was adopted at the federal level?
Well, the ABLE Act of 2014 was signed into law on December 9th of 2014, and it did not in and of itself establish the programs, but rather gave the states the ability to do so. So in January of 2016, Senator Kenley introduced Senate Bill 11, and it was a bipartisan effort of the Indiana General Assembly with over 30 sponsors, and it was eventually signed into law on March 21st of 2016. A board of directors was then formed, some staff was hired, and we began to explore different plan and implementation options, and we ultimately decided on joining the National ABLE Alliance, which is a partnership of 17 states that allow us to convene and share and advise on best practices and offer a plan from an economies of scale approach, allowing us to pool our resources together and giving a variety of low-cost and diverse investment options for Hoosiers.
And talk about how the fact that the benefits like SSI or SSDI and Medicaid won't be affected. That's interesting.
Yes. So saving money in an ABLE account protects those assets in the account from being counted as a resource when determining eligibility for means-tested benefits like SSI and Medicaid. So unlike saving money in a traditional checking or savings account, those dollars would be counted as a resource towards benefits eligibility. And again, the monies in an ABLE account do not count as a resource.
So talk a little bit about how that works and how Investable differs from special needs trusts like, say, the ARC Master Trust.
So regarding the differences between ABLE and special needs trust, these are two very important and impactful tools in an individual's toolbox. With an ABLE account, a beneficiary or their authorized individual has direct access to and control over their money. There is no third-party trust administrator or approval necessary to withdraw their money, to withdraw their funds. Additionally, with ABLE, there is no income tax on earnings if used for qualified disability-related expenses. Trust fund usage is determined and approved by a trustee, and a trustee could potentially allow for different usages than just QDEs or qualified disability expenses. Some of the other differences are that you can only have one ABLE account versus being able to have more than one or multiple third-party special needs trusts. And there is no age of onset limit with a trust as with an ABLE account. Specifically with a first-party trust, and I am no trust expert, but I am learning more and more as the program grows, as ABLE grows. With a first-party trust, the disability must be present before the age of 65, but there is no limit on a third-party trust. The cost between ABLE accounts and trusts vary as well. With an Investable Indiana account, it's just a minimum of $25 to open an account, and the annual fees are very low to help making savings and investing affordable and accessible. But again, what I'd really like to emphasize about the two is that these two resources are incredibly impactful tools. And if someone has the ability to use both, they can absolutely do so.
That is so good. Now, let's talk about how many Hoosiers are using ABLE accounts then.
We currently have over 500 account owners using InvestABLE Indiana. This does include some out-of-state participants. Our average account balance is over $5,300.
Wow.
So that's pretty significant compared to what individuals receiving public benefits could previously save. And we have over $2.7 million invested into our state's program.
Now, you were talking about how people need to use these accounts for disability qualified expenses. So what are they using these accounts for?
Well, our program doesn't specifically track expenditures, but some of the stories that are shared with me vary as to how people are using their accounts. I think initially we thought the account usage would be a little more transactional, and we're seeing a lot of people actually save money for the future and for their unique needs. So some examples, when I'm out in the public and talking to people, some examples that have been shared with me are that people are paying for extra therapies or services not fully covered by their current benefits. They're saving for educational expenses. We're seeing parents save for their children's futures. And one of my favorite stories is a recent story, happened recently rather, and a gentleman approached me at an event and was so excited for his daughter who happened to have Down syndrome. And he shared that he thought everyone should have an ABLE account. And he was so excited to be able to save for his daughter's future. And this story just was kind of reminiscent or reminded me of Stephen Beck Jr.'s initial drive for ABLE and for the whole purpose behind ABLE.
So is there anything new happening at the state and federal levels with ABLE accounts?
There is. So on a federal level, there are two bills that aim to increase the age of onset of disability for ABLE eligibility from 26 to 46. So to give a little bit of background, currently to be eligible for ABLE accounts, one must have the onset of disability prior to age 26. So by raising the age of onset from 26 to 46, the hope is that it will make ABLE more accessible and available to a broader population of individuals who really would benefit from having access to it. Those bills are S-651 and H.R. 1814. Those are the Senate and House bills, respectively, and those were both introduced, I believe it was, last spring. And I would encourage advocates to reach out to their federal delegation to ask for support of these.
Now let's talk about the celebration plans, the best part.
Yeah.
This is 5 years of the milestones, and can we believe that it's been 5 years? But talk about what you're going to do and what plans are happening for Hoosiers and the ABLE accounts.
Certainly. So while the Federal ABLE Act was obviously a federal initiative and a federal bill, we certainly wanted to acknowledge its importance here on a state level. We will be having a celebration with our state and federal delegation in December. This will include a lunch with Treasurer Mitchell and will be hosted by the Arc of Indiana. We wanted to acknowledge the importance of the ABLE Act at a state level and thank those members for their support. We will also be looking to have some other events around the state to highlight ABLE's fifth year and its importance. And I also greatly appreciate you having me here today to be able to speak about this special occasion.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
Well, and March is Disability Awareness Month as well. Is there anything as far as ABLE counts and the fifth anniversary going on with that?
We always hope to do some sort of combination of events during the month of March. But certainly with ABLE being in its fifth year at that point, we do hope to incorporate some other more special and significant events. Those events are still kind of in development. Events are still kind of in the early stages of development, but we do have some ideas that we might like to engage some community partners and other organizations and places around the state to perhaps take a journey to their facility and do something special.
Okay, Amy, so people may be listening to this podcast going, I want an ABLE account. How do they get involved, sign up? What are those types of things?
Well, you can go online to our website, and that website is in.savewithable.com. That's in.savewithable.com. And enrollment is all done online. Even if an individual decides that they just want to use the checking option in our plan, they would still enroll for that online. It's an easy 15-minute enrollment process. They just need to have certain identifying information and know where they would like to invest their funds.
Executive Director Amy Corbin, thank you so much, and I want to wish you a happy 5th anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.